Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to see you all this morning. And before I preach, particularly say hello to those online, if you're wondering what this is on my face, it's not just dirt. It is a small operation I had for skin cancer. So I've had a skin cancer cut out because 50 years ago, I didn't put slip, slop, slap on. So I'm suffering from it. 50 years later, I get lots of cancers, and it's not now. I make sure I cover up, and I put all the, but for all the kids and listening to this, make sure you put slip, slop, slap on. Otherwise, you'll end up like this. And you could easily become an actor in one of those
Frankenstein movies.
In fact, I tried to audition for one, but they said, no, you've got too many scars. I want to read a well-known passage of Scripture from John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16, 17, and 18. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Now, I want you to just underline that phrase. They stand condemned already, he says, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So back to verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This verse of Scripture is the most well-read verse in the New Testament and the most preached about verse in the New Testament and the most well-known verse in the New Testament. A lot of Christians know this verse off by heart. Now, I'm going to challenge you this morning, if you don't know it off by heart, learn it. In fact, in the next 7 days, why don't you learn this verse? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Why is this a favorite verse of many preachers, many singers, many writers? Because they say this verse is the gospel in a nutshell. The whole of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is contained in this one verse. It is the Bible, the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. And I want to go through this verse, and I want to bring out some things that maybe you already know, but perhaps you've forgotten. If it's a very important verse, the most well-read, and I challenge you, if you don't know it off by heart, to learn it, I want to go through it. And while I'm going through it, maybe you can be helping to learn it. Starts off by saying, for God. Now, I didn't mean, don't want you to say it. I'm telling you what it says. For God. That's what it says. For God so loved the world. God. Do you know, in this day and age in which we live in, with all our modern education, technology, and all the advances we've made, and although there's quite a few atheists in the world, can I just say this to you? The vast majority of people on planet Earth today, in this day and age today, the vast majority of people believe in God. I'm saying the vast majority of all those billions that are on earth today, the vast majority still believe in God. And do you know why? Because they've not found anything better. They've realized that, you know, as the Bible says in the book of Psalms, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool. So most people believe that there's a God. But that doesn't do a lot for people to say, I believe there's a God. The scripture says, the devil believes there's a God. And he fears and trembles. So just to say, I believe in God, don't stick your chest out and say, I believe in God, that's good. Well, it is good, but there'd be something wrong if you didn't anyway, because the Bible said you'd be a fool. For God, that's telling us something about God, who is a creator, the one who made everything, because he's God. If he didn't make everything, he wouldn't be God. He's God because he made everything. Everything. For God so loved the world. God so loved the world. The word world is cosmos. And it means the whole of creation. It means the physical earth. And it means the inhabitants of the earth. That God loves the earth as it is, with its mountains, its rivers, its lakes. The beauty of it. God loves it. But God also loves the inhabitants that he's made. He loves the animals. He loves the creatures, all creatures, great and small. He made them. He created them. He loves them. And he loves people. Listen to this. He loves all people, great and small. He loves all people, no matter what they may think of themselves. God loves them. For God so loved the cosmos. For God so loved the world. And can I say this? He does love the physical world as well. In fact, when God created it, he actually said, wow, it's good. He created something that was pretty good. And you know what? You live in a beautiful world. You do, with the mountains and the valleys and the rivers and the lakes and the beautiful scenery of the incredible trees that we have and all the vegetation. And it's a wonderful world. God loved it. He still does. But he says he loves all the inhabitants of the world. And it says this, that he loves the world so much that he gave his one and only son. God so loves the world so much that he gave his one and only son. Now, we know that the name of that son is Jesus. And it tells us in Matthew, the angel said, you will call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. You will call his name Jesus. The word Jesus in the Hebrew means the Lord saves. Now, the name Jesus was, at the time that Jesus lived, was a name that a number of people had. A number of Jewish families called their sons Jesus. They had the name Jesus. The name Jesus means Savior. He will save his people from the name Jesus means Savior. He was called another name, Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So every time you say Jesus, you're saying God is with us. God is my Savior. Jesus is my Savior. God so loved the world that he gave his one son, whose name is Savior. God so loved the world that he gave to the world a Savior. Yes. God so loved the world, and yeah, the whole cosmos, he loves what he's created. And can I say this, that man is destroying what God has created? Without any shadow of a doubt, the brutality of man, the greed of man, is destroying the planet on which we live. They tell me that there are enough atomic weapons in the world today. I'm told this. I don't know. I'm told that from the countries of Russia and America and China and other countries have got there's enough atomic weapons to destroy the whole of mankind and the rest of the birds and the animals and everything. Man can do that. Man is destroying that which God has made. God so loved the world that he gave the Savior. Why do we need a Savior? Because we need saving. Yes. That's logic, isn't it? God so loved the world that he saw that we needed something, we needed saving. Well, what do you need saving from? Lots of things. Lots of things. People today need saving from illness, from sickness. People today need saving from poverty. People today need saving from slavery, and slavery still going on. Child slavery. Women need saving from what men have done and do to them. People need saving from the anger of other people. Can I say this? The Ukrainians need saving from the Russians. Come on. Many countries are at war. People need saving. People need to be saved. Some marriages need to be saved. Some people in marriages need to be saved. Some people in marriages are treated so bad, so rough, so hard. They need saving. There's a lot of reasons. I could stand and list reason upon reason why we need a Savior. You've only got to look at the world and see it's in a mess. I'm amazed at how much I'm reading on YouTube. The predictions of people who are not Christians, but are predicting the collapse of the monetary system. The collapse of the way the world is as we know it. There's a great fear and a great uncertainty out there, because with all of our education, with all of our know-how, with all of our technology, the world's in a mess. There's people out there are greedy, vile, murderous, rapists. People filled with anger and rage, greed and lust, all around. People need saving from drugs. Come on. People need saving from substance abuse. People need saving from alcohol. I'm telling you, there's things that are killing people. They need saving from them. So when you say, well, what's the point of God sending a Savior? There's a lot of point in it. But the question you've got to ask is, why are we in such a mess? What's caused marriage breakdown, family splits? What's caused people to look and violate children? What's caused people to revel in prostitution and pornography, drug addiction, gambling? What's caused? Why are people with all the education that we have like this? Why is the world in such a mess that it's in? Why does the world need saving? Because there's a sickness in the world that really is not good. And the Bible calls it sin. It is a spiritual sickness. Can I say this? It's like a cancer. This cancer that I've had cut off my face, I've had many cancers cut off my body. I've had melanomas from the top of my head. If these cancers were not cut out, my face now would be covered totally in a cancer. It would be horrible to look at, and I'd die. But I've needed someone to come and help me by cutting the cancer out. Sewing it. Look at me in 3 weeks' time. You're not even see a scar there, because I heal so well. Because I've had the thing cut out. The Bible says that there is a cancer in the world, a spiritual cancer. It's in all people. I'm also told that natural cancer is within all people. But with some it comes out, with others it don't. Every human being has got the cells that are cells of your body, but they are just rebel cells. They refuse to perform as the body wants them to perform, and they start to reproduce and cause all sorts of problems to different parts of our bodies because there's different kinds of cancer cells. But some people don't realize that it's there. And I want to tell you this, the world's in a mess, and a lot of people don't realize that there's a spiritual cancer. Yes. That the Bible calls sin. The Bible says we can get help for the problems in the world. And some people think, yeah, we can. The help for the problems in the world perhaps is religion. Can I just say this to you? Rubbish. Religion's never done anything for this world apart from drag it down and cause it to be in a worse place than what it is. In fact, religion is probably responsible for more wars than anything else next to politics. Number one, war. Number two, politics. That's where all the wars come from. And people think that if you're religious, you're going to get saved. No, you're not. Because being religious is not what it's about. It's not going to help you. Well, let's be politically minded. Come on. Surely the answer to this world is politics. If we can get the right man or the right woman in place, they're going to sort the country out. They're going to sort the continent out. They're going to sort the world out. Let's look for the right man and the right woman. Guess what? They've been looking for thousands of years, not found one yet. And how many of you know that we live in a democracy that says we believe in a government of the people, by the people, for the people? How ridiculous is that? Do you know, in our day and age now, with the kind of politics we have, you can't become, particularly in America, you could not become the president unless you're a multimillionaire. No, multi-billionaire, sorry. Only the rich can do it. Politics has not made any improvement to this world. Now, if you're into politics, don't get upset with it. Don't walk out yet. If you're into politics, I just apologize for you. Because politics is not the answer to the world. Well, maybe psychology is. That's the answer. Study psychology. Understand the working of the human brain. Get that right, and you're going to get everything else right. I was watching on YouTube last night, this woman who was talking about worry. She was a psychologist. And she was telling us how that worry can be really good and worry can be really bad, which we all know anyway. And she was trying to tell us how you can get the, you can, by the time she'd got 5 minutes into what she was talking about, I was lost. She was using words I ain't got a clue about. And they, how many of you know that nobody yet understands a tenth of the working of your brain? Not one tenth. How your brain works. I'm not against psychology. Some people need it. I'm not against counseling. Some people need it. If it can help, great. But I'm telling you this, psychology won't change the world. There'll still be greed and lust and hatred and racial discrimination, color discrimination. It's, hey, I've never lived in a day and age where we've had so much talk about color discrimination. I'm going to tell you something. Discrimination against races is in every nation on the earth. And it's not white against black only. It's black against black, and it's white against white. It's yellow against yellow, and it's red against red. Doesn't matter what race we are, we become prejudiced and try to put other people down, thinking that we are better than they are. That's what racial prejudice is all about, saying we're better than you. Rubbish. Can I just say this to you now? No religion, no politics, no psychology is going to answer the deep problems that humankind has. And you would think, after all these years, with all our education, that we'd be in a world now that's really appreciating everything we've got. No greed. No anger, no wickedness, because we're educated. You'd think that, wouldn't you? some of the most educated in the world, countries in the world, are the most wicked. Come on. Come on. If you agree, say amen. Don't go quiet on me now. This is good preaching. You might not like it, but it's good preaching. The world is in a mess and getting worse. The world has got no answers to its problems. And yet it has, but has not recognized it. The answer is Jesus. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, Savior, Jesus. Can I say this? I've already said that at the time that Jesus was born, a lot of males had the name Jesus. And so people were walking around, males, with the name Jesus, with the name Savior. But guess what? None of them was. Come on, none of them was. But one came who the angel says, you're going to call his name Jesus. Because he's been sent from God to really save you. There's people in the Old Testament that had the same connotations in the Hebrew, the name Hosea, Joshua. They actually mean the Lord is salvation. They mean that. It's like the name Jesus. But can I tell you what? Listen, we're not going to be saved because of a good man. The Bible shows us some very good men that came. Joshua, as I've already said. Elijah. Do you know, those men were not the saviors. Isaiah, Daniel, they weren't the saviors. They weren't the saviors. In the New Testament, there's some great men that we read of. Paul, John, Bartholomew. We read of Peter, James. They weren't the saviors. Being a good man or a good woman does not make you a savior. There's only one Savior. God so loved the cosmos. God so loved his creation. God so loved the world. He saw the pain, the anguish, the sting of sin. He saw the corruption, the greed. He saw it, but God still loved it. God loves a fallen world. Amen. You know God loves the Ukraine. And God loves Russia. Amen. Doesn't matter what country you're from, God loves you. And let me just tell you this. The name Russian, the name Ukrainian, the name Australian, the name English, the name American. Can I say they're not God's names? We put those names there. God looks down and sees mankind. And God loves you. Doesn't matter the color of your skin. Doesn't matter if you're highly intelligent or poorly educated. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. God loves you. There's no discrimination or distinction with God between color. No distinction whether you're rich or poor. No distinction at all whether you think you're good or not. God loves you. God so loves the world that he gave the Savior. And he says this, that whosoever believes in him will not perish. Oh, this is a part of the sermon that people don't like. There's a word there, perish, die, become lost, become hell-bent. God so loved the world that he sent a Savior so that people won't perish. And by the word perish there, I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about spiritual death. And we can kid ourselves on that everybody's going to the same place. I once talked to a woman, she was convinced, she says, we're all going to the same place. I said, you and your cronies may be, but I'm not going where you are. Because I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. We're not all going to go to the same place. Some people are going to perish. Some people are going to a lost eternity. Some people are lost because they will not acknowledge that Jesus is the Savior. Let me read this verse again. For God so loved the world, He sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we won't perish, but we will have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Listen to this. God did not send Jesus to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. For whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came into a condemned world. He didn't come to condemn you. He came to a world that was lost, to a world which was destroying itself, to a world that was dying, to a hopeless, sick world. He came into a world that was already condemned by man's sin himself. That's the world he came into. And I love this. This is beautiful. It says, whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he's not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. You've got to believe in the name of Jesus. You've got to believe that Jesus is your Savior. Not that he was a good man. Not that he was just a miracle worker. We've seen good men. We've seen miracle workers, and thank God for them. But Jesus was more than that. Not because he was a prophet. We've seen good prophets. But Jesus was more than a good man, than a good teacher, than a miracle worker, than a prophet. Jesus is the Savior. That's who Jesus is. He's the Savior. He came to sort sin out. He came to condemn sin. The world is condemned, but Jesus came to condemn sin. He took the sin of the world upon himself. He died on the cross, and sin was condemned in the name of Jesus. He sent sin to hell. Glory to God. And if you believe in him as your Savior, you're saved. If you will believe, you are saved. But if you don't believe, then you're lost. When I discovered this cancer, and I went and had it examined, and I did all the tests, they said it's a cancer and it's got to come out. I said, well, can you, you know, do a few creams? No, it's too far gone. It's got to come out. Now, I could have thought, well, I can't be bothered with that. I haven't got time, you know. There was no pain. In fact, I looked in the mirror sometimes, I could hardly see it. I thought, what's the point? Come on, you know what you're talking about. I could have left it. And it would have killed me. Because I ignored it. But thank God I didn't ignore it. And can I say this? I have not ignored my sin. I know I need that sin cutting out. I know I need an operation on my spirit. I know this, whatever to this body, no matter how good looking you might think I am, can I just tell you, one day I'm going to die. It's going to happen. And you are too. Our bodies are not yet saved. Our bodies get older every day. Have you noticed? Come on. I noticed particularly yesterday when I got out of bed, how many aches and pains I had. And I'm fit. I am fit because of age. You can't stop it. You can't stop the wrinkles. I've tried. I've had all these cancers cut out. A lot of nips and tucks. Didn't cost me anything. A lot of nicks and nips and done very well. But I tell you what, you can't stop aging. You can't stop it. Not your body. But I can stop the aging of my spirit and soul. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Hallelujah. So you can't see it, but I'm really lovely inside. I'm beautiful inside. Come on. The nurse said to me when I went, not only this one, when I went on the melanoma, she says, what have you got? Any sickness? I said, no, nothing. Went all through the, what medication? She said, none. She said, how old are you? I says, I was nearly 80 then. I said, nearly 80. She said, and you've got no medications? You've got no other sickness? I said, no. I said, but listen, I'm really good on the inside, but I'm rotting on the outside. Which was true with these skin cancers. But can I say this to you? I'm really good inside. I've had my spirit changed and redeemed. I'm a really lovely man. Doesn't matter what I look like outside. Doesn't matter. Inside, I've had my sin cut out. Hallelujah. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, he's done a wonderful spiritual operation. And now I'm a new person in Jesus Christ. Because I believe that Jesus is a Savior. I believe that Jesus is a Savior. Not the President of America. I'm so glad I don't believe that. He ought to join me, didn't he? He's in my class. In fact, he should be in a nursing home, quite possibly. I'm looking at him sometimes. Man alive. But no matter who you are, doesn't matter. You can't save me. You can't save anybody else. But Jesus can save me. I'm going to tell you this now, especially you young ones here that's got parents who are Christians. Your parents can't save you. Your parents may be so godly, so in love with Jesus, and they may be singing their songs, and you see them, they're loving Jesus, and you might think, oh, my mom and dad saved, I'm all right. No, you're not. You've got to get saved too. You've got to do what your mom and dad does, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You've got to do that. I'm finishing with this. If you put your trust in Jesus, you will not perish. By perishing, that means when you finish this life, you then stand before God and you've got to answer for everything you've done wrong. Everything. Everything. Whatever lies, cheating, stealing, lust, addictions, whatever it may be. If you've done the terrible crimes, you're going to stand before God and be judged. Because of the wickedness that you've done. Now, I've told this before, but it's a really good example to use right now. If you housewives go shopping tomorrow and you buy some apples from the store, from Coles or Woolworths or wherever, and you bring them home and you open the bag and you're going to put the bag in the fridge, but you just open it and you see a bad apple. You see one bad, you take it out and you look at the other apples, they're all good. You're not going to take that bad apple and put it back in that bag. No housewife who knows what she's doing will do that. You'll keep it separate because if you put it back, it will contaminate the rest of the apples. You will stand before God, and if you haven't been forgiven and cleansed from your sin, God cannot allow you to go into heaven because you'll take your contamination with you. You'll take your sin with you. You'll take your vileness with you. And God will look at you and say, you had your opportunity to be cleansed, but you refused it. Now, depart from me. Get away from me. You don't belong here. Those who believe in Jesus won't perish like that because they've been forgiven now. And I close with this thought. It's a beautiful thought. He says, if we believe in him, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him, Jesus, Savior, shall not perish but have eternal life. Somebody once said to me, when does eternal life begin? And I answered them saying, it begins the moment you believe in Jesus. I was once witnessing to a lady in a house and a family was there with her. And I was telling her she's got to become a Christian. And the family had. I said, you need to believe. I said, I believe and I'm on my way to heaven. She says to me, don't be silly. You can't possibly know if you're going to go to heaven while you're alive here. You won't know until you die. I said, listen, if you're going to leave it till you die to get right with God, too late. The door's shut. And you know what she said to me? She got really snooty with me, which I didn't mind because I was preaching the truth. She said, oh, you sound like you've got a one-way ticket to heaven. I said, I have. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I said, I can tell you right now as I sit in this home, talk to you, I have eternal life. I haven't always had it. I was a sinner like everybody else, but I became a Christian. I gave my life to Jesus. I didn't become a religious Christian. I didn't become a churchy person. I became a born-again Christian at a young age by giving my life to Jesus, and my sins were forgiven, and I received the gift of eternal life. Hallelujah. Now listen, that was in 1956 I gave my life to Jesus. Long time ago, wasn't it? 1956. In 1956, listen, I received eternal life. Yeah, I've had eternal life since 1956. Come on. If you haven't received Jesus, you haven't got it. You're still perishing because you're already condemned. You already got a poison in you. That you're the apple that God's going to take out and said, I can't put you in there. You can't come into heaven like that. You're just filthy. You're going to contaminate everything you touch. And if you think people don't contaminate people, think again, because they do. There's not one person in this room, as I look around, that's perfect. Not even these kids. Well, they're far from perfect. No, none of you are perfect. You've all done something wrong. All of you. Young and old, none of us are perfect. That's why we need a Savior. That's why I'm glad that God so loved John Warwick. God so loved John Warwick that he gave his one and only son, Jesus the Savior, that if John Warwick will believe in Jesus the Savior, he won't perish but have eternal life. I have everlasting life. I have eternal life. What about you? I'm finishing right now. I finish this message now. What about you? Are you a believer? Can you say to me, I believe in Jesus? Can I just have the lights put on so I can see everybody? I'd just like to see your face. If somebody could pop all the lights on for me so that we can see. Sorry about if it interferes a little bit with the... But pop the lights on. That's it over there. Good on you. You got it. We've got it. There we go. This is a simple message. Not complicated. And it's so simple that people will say, oh, that's so simple, and walk away from it. Oh, that's rubbish, but walk away from it. But you've heard it now. And if you walk away from it, and you never hear it again, when you stand before God, he'll remind you of this Sunday. You online, if you're watching this, he will remind you that you've heard the word of God, or the gospel, which means good news. You've heard it today. You might find many faults in it. You might think there's many holes in that. You could think what you like, but I'm telling you, this is God's word, the Bible, and it's God's truth, and Jesus is God's son, and Jesus is God's savior for you. So if you have heard this word, I say to you right now, will you believe? Will you believe in Jesus? Just close your eyes, everybody. Close your eyes. Can you say to me today, I am a believer. I follow Jesus Christ. I don't want to be religious. I want to just be a follower of Jesus. I want to live as Jesus wants me to live. I want to speak how Jesus wants me to speak. I want to live for him. There may be some of you here this morning that perhaps you were really close to God, but you've wandered away. Well, you're a fool. Don't wander away. Once you've been saved, stay saved. The Bible says, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. So, come on, if you feel that you're backslidden, then I'm going to include you in this prayer. If you're away from God, I want to include you in the prayer I'm going to pray. Because I'm going to pray a prayer for you. But I want to pray for people who want to receive Jesus as their Savior. Whether you've never done it before, or maybe you have done it before, I want to pray for you. Just where you're sitting, I want to do that. But to know that you're saying, hey, I need that prayer, can you just put your hand up in the air so I can see it, and I will pray for you. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah, God bless you. Anyone else? Yes, God bless you. Anybody else? Yeah, thank you. Anyone else? It counts. It's important. It's not a game. This is not a game. At the end of time, when everything is finished and you stand before God, you won't be able to claim anything as your Savior other than Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. And think chapter 5, when you look at it and go into it, nothing makes more sense than Jesus being the Savior. How many of you know Jesus is the most important man in the world still today? More people speak of Jesus, more people write books about Jesus, more people sing songs about Jesus than any other person ever. Christianity is not dying out, it's growing. Thousands of people are coming to Jesus every day. A lot of people have put their hand up this morning. I'm going to pray right now. Can I include you in this prayer? Just raise your hand if you want me to include you in this prayer. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, God bless you. Okay, I'm going to pray now. Father, for all those who raise their hand, they're saying, I want you, Jesus, to be my Savior. If some are doing it for the first time, Lord, then come into their hearts right now. Wash away their sin. May they have that spiritual operation. Cut the cancer of sin away. Cleanse them from all that they've done wrong. And help them to be strong for you. If there's people here who raise their hand, Lord, but they have been Christians, but they're loose in their walk today, Lord. They're not close to you. Lord, they've realized afresh that there's only one Savior, and that Savior is not the world, it's Jesus. I pray for those who raise their hand, you will forgive them and cleanse them and put your loving arms around and about them. And may they see and know that they're walking with you. Everyone who raised their hand, Lord, may they receive the gift of eternal life right now. Eternal life in Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you for this church. And I thank you, Lord, because we are a gospel-preaching church. We believe in the simplicity of the gospel as it is in Jesus Christ. So, Father, continue to bless us. May this be a good day, Lord. May you be with us in our fellowship together as we eat and drink together. May it just be a lovely time together. May you be with us right through this week. And if we have an opportunity to share this lovely message with other people, help us to do it. Help us to tell people that Jesus is the Savior. For God, you so loved the world that you gave your one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus, we believe. Father, thank you for the precious gift of your Son, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you.